This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
For the world's greatest athletes,
this is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again!
Gold for the United States!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this.
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics. Friday, July 26th on NBC and Peacock.
There's no place like the movie theater. The smell of fresh popcorn welcomes you to a full body experience, while candies and sodas compete for your attention. Hoping to join you in the best seats you've reserved on Fandango. It's where movie lovers buy tickets, pick seats, and double up on rewards points all online. All that's left is to walk in, snack up, and sit back. Visit Fandango.com or download the app today for your ticket to the movies.
To a degree, there's no doubt, you know, but then also, hey, the head coach has got to step in too and start being like, let's get the run game going in training camp. Let's not just make it Josh Allen-centric all the time. You know, that's where I would, you know, defend Brian Daboll a little bit. And then, yeah, 1-for-4 in the red zone. Yeah, in the windiest game in the NFL we've seen the last 2 years. Okay, that happens. Oh, against the best defense in football? Oh, against the best coach in the history of football and not letting teams score touchdowns? You know, so, yes, I think you're right. His answer is saying he's not a little underwhelmed there. But at the same time, I think there were some other circumstances that, you know, he can blame on himself that were part of the game on Monday night. I mean, Josh Allen gave the ball perfectly to Matt Breida in his chest. He dropped it. That's what happens on cold nights. In fact, the series before that, I think we saw the Patriots player drop the toss, Damian Harris, on a third down. So that happened a little bit unlucky there. You know, I think there's a number of things there. Yeah, Brian Daboll, it has not been his best year. I'm not gonna sit here and lie about that, but I think there's some other things at play here that are affecting some of that. And then, Mike, the biggest thing, too, is this. The talent in Buffalo on the offensive side of the ball is so overrated, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs and just a bunch of other guys. That's all it is. They're the only two blue-chip players on the offense. There's nothing else. And that's where I think people got to get that out of their mind, too. It's the Josh Allen show. A lot of quarterbacks in football could not make that offense work. But he's so freakishly talented, and he does. And he's kind of fooling us, a.k.a. almost like Aaron Rodgers early in his career. We go, they're a Super Bowl contender. You know, why? Because one guy is just a magic man? And I think that's my rant there for that discussion there. Sorry.
Well, but they played so well last year. That's the thing. And that's why it becomes so difficult 1 year to the next. Because what has a team truly done to improve itself? If you're not getting better, you're getting worse. And the Bills, I think, believed it was enough to just kind of tread water. Well, when you give defensive coaches 7 months to go to work,
that's right,
on trying to figure out how to throw a wrench into the next big thing in the NFL, you better be working on ways to counter it. And you better be coming up with different ideas and different players who can maybe take you to the next level or put you in a position where you zig when they zag based upon all the zigging you did the prior year. And, you know, one last point about Daboll before we take a break, and this is another reason why it is an ominous quote from McDermott. Shireen Williams pointed out last night on PFTPM when we had this discussion, McDermott basically said the same thing about Rick Dennison a few years back, and Dennison
didn't make it.
So, you know, I doubt that we're going to have a Sunday at 1:20 in the afternoon firing of Brian Daboll, in part because the Bills have already had their bye week. But he is on notice, Chris, and these next five games become critical from an offensive performance. And, you know, I mean, Sean McDermott was... he's kind of on that trajectory of being among the top coaches. And we've had a lot of articles and discussion about who's making more than $10 million in the NFL. By my count, I think there's eight. There's a lot of debate. A lot of people don't want to accept the idea that other money gets funneled to these guys, even though it does. McDermott's not in the $10 million per year club, and we know these guys are competitive. The ones who aren't in it want to be in it, and McDermott was on the path. He has another year like he had last year. He's one of the top coaches in the NFL. Yeah. Gets that Super Bowl, gets that win. He's one of the top dogs. And, you know, the plug's being pulled out from the rise of McDermott's star.
Well, you're right to a degree. He's still a phenomenal football coach. I mean, phenomenal.
But he's not in the $10 million. He's not getting the $10 million this year.
No, you're not. You know, and listen, I think where they dropped the ball, and I know even preseason, I said I don't think Buffalo can be as good as last year. Not the way they played last year, where it's just you're depending on one guy to just make magic all the time. It's just too hard. You know, you got to have versatility in your offense. I mean, again, we saw Kansas City just light the world on fire for 2 years. What did teams do? They continued to study them, gather more information. I mean, now, damn, the Kansas City offense that was unstoppable 2 years ago, it can't do it. It can't do jack diddly squat. It can't. Defenses are all over it. They got to reinvent themselves. So I think there's that aspect, and McDermott, I think, needs to, you know, in the offseason, of course, look at it and go, man, realistically, can I ask the offense to be successful with the way we play? There's got to be another element to defend. And right now, the only element to defend is Josh Allen laser beams or Josh Allen running the ball. He's the best runner on the team and the best thrower on the team. And that's just not going to work. And, again, I will say this, too, in Brian Daboll's defense. Hey, let's also give him credit for what Josh Allen is. We got to do that, too. The whole world thought Josh Allen was the dumbest pick in the world, and he's too raw and crazy, and he's brought him in to where now not anybody in the planet can argue he's definitely one of the three or four best quarterbacks in football. You just can't argue it anymore. So Daboll deserves a little credit for that, too. But, yeah, they got issues up there. They do, and I don't know if they can get to the Super Bowl playing this way. As we've seen, there's some things to worry about their football team.
Let's go ahead and take a break. When we return, Week 14 power rankings, plus some of your more astute and or insulting observations and questions. We'll do that when PFT Live continues right after this. Yet again, the Arizona Cardinals, number one in this week's power rankings. They earned it coming out of their bye, getting the big win in Chicago. They played like the team that should be accustomed to playing outdoors in December in Chicago. Of course, they used to be in Chicago. Not a lot of movement in the top half. The Ravens fell a few spots by losing. That bumped up the Chiefs, the Rams, and the Cowboys one spot each. Chris, anything jump out to you as problematic in the top half of the rankings?
I don't think anything like problematic I look at. I think the one thing I would probably do if I were you, and again, I don't think it's like egregious that you have this, I would probably go Cardinals 1, Buccaneers 2, maybe Packers 3, Patriots 4, but I'm not like sitting here going, oh man, that's crazy. I think the Patriots could probably win an ugly game against the Packers, but I think in like a head-to-head matchup, I just think of it that way, like Patriots versus Packers, Patriots for Bucks right now. I'd probably take the other two teams. I'd take the Packers or the Patriots. That's the one thing that jumps out to me. But, I mean, it's not egregious. I understand you having the Patriots at number two. They're playing really damn good football right now. I think the other one I would probably look at number 8 and 9, like, again, I just don't know how good the Ravens are. I don't. I'm the Ravens, the Chargers, you know, there's a few other teams in the AFC here where I still got questions about. And I can't believe that as we're going here, you know, into mid-December. But I would probably put the Titans above the Ravens for sure. I would. I know they lost their last two games, but man, one was in a monsoon. The other one, they went toe to toe with the Patriots and just messed up some situations. The score was misleading. But other than that, I mean, I like what you got, Mike. I really do. And I'm not even saying I dislike what I just said that much.
Direct Driver makes the comment, I don't trust the Cardinals. No matter how many games they win, they will be a quick out in the playoffs. And they can't shake that vibe.
Right.
And that may be the irony for the Cardinals. We keep using that word today, but I think we're using it properly. They play so well during the regular season that they earn home field advantage in a season where they have already 7 double-digit road wins and may have 8. They have Detroit coming up and could have 9 if they roll the Cowboys like they did last year. And their reward is to play at home where it feels like they're vulnerable. They've lost both of their games at home this year.
Yeah, no, it is crazy that I mean, you know, again, losing the Packers, that was a tough one, certainly. Again, that's another game you look at and go, yeah, they lost, but, man, a lot of that was self-inflicted. I don't necessarily look at it as like, oh, the Packers overwhelmed Rondell Moore on a punt return that he dropped or a screen pass that went through his head and got intercepted or through his hands and intercepted. But I think your base comment there is real. Like, I just don't – we haven't seen Arizona be battle-tested yet enough over the last few years to just believe in them as a playoff football team. But I don't know. There's so much talent on both sides of the ball. I have a hard time thinking one and done. I know that. I just – they know how to play the game schematically, and they got a lot of playmakers to back it up.
It is going to be a challenge for them, though. They don't have the same kind of weather – home field advantage, obviously, that you're going to have in Green Bay or Buffalo or other climates where you have to worry about wind, snow, and rain. And also, I wonder how extensively the fans of the road team in that playoff game will be present at State Farm Stadium.
Right.
And how much of a home field advantage it really will be. It's not like the Chargers where it gets overrun, but I feel like the road team fans end up with a lot of tickets to those games. And in the playoffs, you know, are the Cardinals fans going to come out in full support, or will there be some secondary market transactions where Packers fans or Cowboys fans or Buccaneers fans end up showing up and making a lot of noise for the Cardinals? Maybe that's good. Maybe it needs to feel like a road game for the Cardinals the way they played on the road.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, they're I think what we see there, though, just as far as, like, those are some answers for being battle-tested to a degree, is the fact that they can go on the road and do that. You know, there's certainly something there about them rallying together. But the thing I'll go back to with the Cardinals, they got a lot of different ways they can beat you, and that's where I think it's impressive about their team. It's no longer they just have to throw the ball, forward wide receivers, Texas Tech, Red Raiders, you know, type of offense. They got – you know, they can play power football. They can throw screens. They got a good short passing game. They got a little play action and boots to go with it. So you can't just say, oh, if we stop this one element, we'll stop the Cardinals. We saw it last week. You know, they can do it with defense and being conservative on the offensive side of the ball. And I think that's where, you know, we all got to start giving them a little bit more respect.
Funny comment from Enemy for the People on the fact that the Rams are at 6 and the Cowboys are at 7. Cowboys are better than the Rams, and I hate you for making me type that. I don't think the Cowboys are currently better than the Rams. Do you?
I don't either. No. I mean, that was a ugly win against the Saints. I mean, really no sustained drive the whole night, just a few big plays. To me, that's not like – that's not going to be, like, you know, able to be consistently relied on, especially as you get into playoff football. I mean, they lost to the Raiders. They got dominated by the Chiefs in Kansas City 2 weeks before that, dominated by, you know, the Denver Broncos, where I could sit there and get behind you to go, yeah, the Rams are better. And where I would say, too, is, like, again, there's self-inflicted stuff. It wasn't games where I went, oh, my gosh, they're physically getting overwhelmed and getting beat that way. You know, I think there's a little bit more of that in the Cowboys' losses as compared to the Rams' losses, at least. And, yeah, I'm with you. I think I'd put the Rams a smidgen ahead of the Cowboys as well.
One last note on the way out the door. The Raiders down from 14 to 18. Jared says, the Raiders will beat Kansas City, jump 10 spots, then lose the next week to continue the cycle of death. Mm-hmm. And that's what so many teams are this year. We think they're good after they get a big win, and then they fall flat on their face, and it's just up and down, and it's leading to a very compelling final 5 weeks as we try to figure out who is going to make it to the single elimination round. We'll take a break. We'll continue this Wednesday edition of PFT Live right after this.
For the world's greatest athletes.
This is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again!
Goal for the United States! Unbelievable!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have
never seen anything like this.
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics. Friday, July 26th on NBC and Peacock.
I'm ready to go.
Streaming now only on Peacock. Five rich and famous international soccer stars. They have everything except love.
I think girls in the past have gone for me because of what I've got.
That's why we're going undercover.
We're setting them up with single American women.
They don't know we are famous. They don't know we are rich.
And they'll have to hide their true identity.
What do you need for work?
I'm an ad salesman.
Oh, God. What am I doing?
Love Undercover. New series streaming now only on Peacock.
For the world's greatest athletes.
This is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again! Gold for the United States! Unbelievable!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this.
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics. This summer on NBC and streaming on Peacock.
Oh, what a catch. Week 13. Some of the great grabs. Here's Logan Thomas with the one-handed snag for the 7-yard touchdown. Going way up. Oh, man. That one was headed for the front row, Chris.
Yep, I was. That was a great catch. I really was. Did not need to make it that hard. And I feel bad for Logan Thomas because he got hurt later in the game.
Leonard Fournette with the one-handed touchdown.
Look at this guy.
For the first points of the game. He's on fire lately.
He is, right?
Finally becoming the guy that we – remember when he was a rookie or a freshman at LSU, how great we thought he was going to be? He's getting closer and closer to that. Marlon Davidson with the pick six. Oh, Tommy.
Sweet hands for the big guy there. Look at that. That was pretty impressive. I mean, that made it a game because I feel like Atlanta was about to get blown out.
They still didn't cover, yes. Unfortunately.
Here it is.
You had them as a best bet to cover. How about Devontae Parker with the 16-yard sideline toe tap? Check it out. He just came off of injured reserve. The presence of mind and getting the feet down. Two catches made by the Patriots on Monday night. Here's one of them. Mac Jones would have been 1 for 3, but for the efforts of Jonnu Smith, that ball sailed. And I thought it was way over his head at first. I was amazed he got a hand on it, and then he has the presence of mind to get it in, Chris.
Look at the vert. I mean, he's a freaky athlete. That's why they signed him, and that was an amazing catch.
Kenny Moore in that 31-0 win. This is right out of the gate, so first play from scrimmage. What's Tyrod Taylor thinking here?
I really
have no
idea.
Just throw it away. The guy's right there.
I know.
Nice catch, though.
Great catch, getting the feet down, all of that. But, yeah, it just the risk is not worth the reward there. It's really not. And phenomenal catch by Kenny Moore.
Same game, 7-0 Colts. Ashton Doolin.
Yeah, Ashton Doolin.
Making the catch at the back of the end zone, getting the feet down. And
toe drag swag right there. Yep, got it down.
All right. Yeah. Michael Gallup. This one, we raved about it on Friday. This is the stuff of superheroes. It happens so fast in real time, you don't appreciate it. And in slow motion, you don't appreciate it. It is a lightning strike. It is a cobra bite. It was incredible. The ability to get the ball, twist around, get his feet down while he's being shoved out of bounds. Amazing stuff by Michael Gallup.
Amazing.
All right, and here's same game. How about this catch by Jayron Kearse?
Gosh.
Out of nowhere. I thought there's no way he got 2 feet down. Chris,
yeah,
did he get
him
down?
I know. He got him down. I mean, laying his body out, keeps it straight, gets the left toe down here again. I mean, that really was. That was special. Cowboys got some freaky players, that's for sure. That Michael Gallup guy, if he stays healthy, he's a number one type receiver. And I know we've discussed this before where I think we both think maybe Amari Cooper is expendable after this year because of a guy like Michael Gallup there in Dallas.
Peter said on Friday's show that when he was at Cowboys training camp, Dak Prescott said to him, watch Michael Gallup this year. Now, that was before Gallup got hurt.
Yeah.
But usually when a quarterback's excited about a guy and names a guy,
yeah,
you watch him. And you're right, he could make Amari Cooper expendable. And Amari Cooper probably still in the doghouse a little bit for missing a couple of games because he was unvaccinated. We know how Jerry Jones feels about that. Let's take a break. We're going to draft the teams that need a playoff bye the most when this Wednesday edition of the program continues right after this.
Lanza. Interceptado. Daniel Sorensen. Y se va para el otro lado. Aquí vienen los Chiefs. Esto va a ser un pick six. 20, 15, 10. Touchdown. Kansas City Chiefs. El pick six de Sorensen merece un toma, papá.
That's great. Carlos M. Ramirez, the Sunday Night Football play-by-play announcer for Universo, our colleague. Yeah, when I pull up the game on Sunday night on YouTube TV, it asks me, do I want to watch on NBC or do I want to watch on Universo? You get that option every time.
Huh.
It just shows you how big that's become, and more folks who speak Spanish as their primary language are football fans. We think so much about Europe. A lot of Mexican and Spanish football fans, and it's growing all the time. All right.
What do you think of Teddy Business' decision on that play there, just real quick?
He knows.
He tried a little. He tried a little.
He knows.
I don't think he really tried, but he knew. Right. I think he was like, I'll try to throw a shoulder in the side of him, but he wasn't going to put his body in front of the guy and tackle him.
The best approach continues to be shelter in place. You can't get called out for your effort, your lack of effort, or your feigned effort if you are curled up in the fetal position in the spot where you threw the football. That's what Tom Brady does. That's what everybody else should do. All right. Teams that most need a playoff bye this year. Here's the – oh, you asked the
– I got a question. Shut your mouth for a second over there, okay? Shut your mouth, all right?
I'm not looking.
He's got it blacked out. Don't uncover it yet, Pete.
I'm not. Don't uncover it.
What NFC team has the most wins all time in the wild card round? It's a good one. I don't know it.
Most wins all time in the wild card round in the NFC, I would say the Packers.
Wow, good job. Good job. Did Pete just hit the button and say that to you?
No.
I mean, Pete had to tell me, like, why. I cared, like, during the question. Just be quiet. Yeah, I don't believe it. Pete's an idiot. He probably hit your button and told you
that.
He
didn't tell me. The wild card round really exploded in 1990 when they went to six teams, and the Packers have been a perennial playoff team. And the wild card round, you're playing if you're not one of the top two seeds. So if you're in the playoffs a lot, you're going to play in the wild card round
there.
A lot. You're
going to
win
that.
A lot. All right. And I will say that the Packers need the playoff bye the most because Aaron Rodgers has told us how badly he needs a bye so that his broken pinky toe on his left foot, paint the target on. He may as well get a tattoo of a target on your pinky toe, Aaron, because they're going to test that toe the rest of the season. Unless and until you get that two-week break where it can heal even more. So Packers, final answer.
Yeah, I get that one too. And we know how great they are at home, so that makes a lot of sense. I think the next one I'm going to go with here is I'm gonna take the Patriots next. You know, again, I know the Patriots game translates to the road too because of the way they play. But I guess my logic more is this. There is a great home field advantage in New England. There is. You say what you want. There's just some mystique about that field. Where the other team goes there and you just feel like something bad's going to happen to us. And I think the other thing I look at, man, as awesome as they are, rookie quarterback, can he win three games on the road to get to the Super Bowl? I don't know about that. I don't know. That's still a tough task, as amazing as Mac Jones has been and the team is. So I'll go with the Patriots as my next pick.
Although it did take them a while to get their first home win of the season this year. They were like 0-3 or even 0-4 at one point at home. I'm not quite sure, but they lost plenty of home games to start the year. I'm going to go with the Buccaneers. Even though last year they did it the hard way, they were the 5 seed, went on the road. Were they the 5 seed or the 6 seed?
They were low.
They were the 5. They were the 5.
They played for Washington.
They faced Washington, right. They had to go on the road 3 times. They did it, and they came home for the Super Bowl. Well, now they are so much better at home this year than on the road. And Bruce Arians talked recently about how much harder it is to play on the road this year with fans present. For all the talk and the reality of the home field advantage for most teams evaporating and road teams doing well, the Buccaneers are a different team away from home. So they don't need the bye as much as they need it for the week off, although the week off would come in handy. They had an earlier bye this year than last year. Getting that home field advantage is key for them because they are just not the same team when they play away from home.
No, I mean, it is weird that they're one of the few teams. I got to think, you know, again, I don't know exactly what it is, but something about the quiet atmosphere adds to their offense and what Brady can do at the line of scrimmage a little bit. that gives them just a little bit more advantage. Of course, hey, two plays in the huddle. Hey, check, check, or I got to audible to this. You can't always do that on the road. I would think that's got to be a part of that element. All right, the next one I'm going to go to, and I don't really have like great reasoning here other than I don't think they're a great team and they have a great home field advantage, is the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm going to go with them. You know, again, Kansas City's really good. We know, you know, that they're, are they as good as we've seen the last 3 years? No, they're not. They're playing a different style of football. The defense is legit. But, man, going to Kansas City, a little like Green Bay in my eyes, the fact that, hey, it's cold, it's going to be really loud. You know, they thrive on that home field energy. And Mahomes, you know, like a Rodgers, the elements don't really matter. It just, it's 30-mile-per-hour wind. Oh, it's a little rainy. Oh, here, laser beam. Doesn't matter. Does not matter. And I do think that's an advantage for them.
Last one for me is the Rams for one simple reason.
Yeah.
They can't go to Lambeau Field.
Yeah,
they can't. And good luck. They have a steep uphill climb, and it starts Monday night when they go to Arizona. If they lose to the Cardinals, it's done. Their quest to try to win the division and be the one seed. But if they go back to Green Bay, forget about it. They're not going to beat the Packers in Green Bay in the postseason. Well,
lucky for them is that's like the only place that's like that kind of weather in the NFC right now as far as the top four seeds. So maybe they get lucky that way. My last one, again, it's hard to figure out a last. I'm going to go with the Buffalo Bills. Again, we talked about the Buffalo not being, you know, just a dominant great team. But if they got at home, you know, again, I don't want hurricane winds. But the one thing you do see, like I just said with Mahomes, Josh Allen in Buffalo, the elements aren't going to affect him as compared to the other quarterback on the other side of the field. They're not. And I think that gives them an advantage. Even though they don't have a run game and everything there, it's a little like Jim Kelly and the K-gun back in the day. He could just still throw it through the wind, the snow. It doesn't matter. And I do think that plays into advantage, let alone a great fan base to go get behind them.
The risk is they're going to end up hosting a team that is better built to win in the elements than they are, like the Colts.
Right. That could be scary. Right. That could be scary.
Let's take a break. We'll wrap up this Wednesday edition of PFT Live right after this. Look at the odds for MVP as they currently stand. Tom Brady, the favorite at plus 175. Hey, if the Bucs are the one seed in the NFC, how do you not give it to Brady? However, if the Steelers make the playoffs and if TJ Watt gets 8 more sacks, he's got 16 in 10 games. They got 5 games left. He's missed 2. That's 24. He's on pace for 24. That's the record. If they get to the playoffs and he sets that record, he's currently 250-1. You want to make a good value play? You put it on TJ Watt to be the MVP, Chris, because there's a way the dominoes fall where these voters start to wake up and say maybe he's the guy. Shereen Williams, who has one of the votes, her two finalists are Kyler Murray and TJ Watt.
Yeah, wow, Kyler Murray. I mean, he missed a month of the season. That's hard for me to – he would be in the leader
three
house
games.
If he was playing, played more. Watt, yeah, Watt's great. I don't know. They have to make the playoffs. They do. It's the 22nd-ranked defense in football. I don't think he's been as physically dominant as Myles Garrett this year. I don't. His sacks might say it, but, I mean, even last week he got 2 sacks where the guy just fell in his lap a little bit. I know he's awesome. I don't know if I can get behind that one as far as, like, dominant MVP defensive stuff there. I can't. I don't know if I can. I mean, Brady and Rodgers, to me, are in the leader house right now. I mean, Rodgers showed he's MVP caliber for sure.
They got to be the one seed, though. Now, when you say fell in his lap, is it kind of like when Brett Favre takes the snap and rolls
that,
out
yeah,
to the
that
right?
That didn't, but he didn't get defensive MVP. I know
Michael
that. Strahan didn't win
it?
The award.
See you tomorrow.
See ya.